I have the pleasure to talk with Johanna Tablada, Deputy Director General of the U.S. Department of the Cuban Foreign Ministry.
Roberto, it is always a pleasure to talk to you and to the listeners of Radio Havana, Cuba.
Johanna, the blockade that the United States imposed on Cuba has been intensified in the last month. What you can tell us about it?
Regarding to your question, it is very important to examine the performance of United States government during this time of pandemic. And I think it reached a new low. If it's been terrible that for 60 years, the Lester-Mallory memorandum has been the guidance for United States policy of strangling Cuban economy in order to provoke a situation of confusion, desperation, lack of food and resources and hope. And it is true that it has failed, but it is also true that it's been painful because Cuba has never had the opportunity to develop itself at its maximum capacity. During this moment, after 2 years when the United States government has applied and enforced more than 86 unilateral coercive measures against Cuba in order to make our economy collapse, it is amazing what they've been able to do since February till now. Just in the last 4 months, more than 10 new unilateral coercive measures of blockade has been applied. Among them, we have to mention in February the limitation for remittance. It does affect more than 90 countries overseas, and the Cubans, the Cuban immigration living in Europe, were prevented from using Western Union to help their relatives. It did not stop there. They did enforce new measures, including new Cuban entities in the so-called illegal list, unilateral and arbitrary list of restricted entities, in order to prevent Cuba to get the fuel, the oil that we do need to cook, for the Cubans to transport themselves among the island. They did hit also international aviation with new extraterritorial measures. Donations from China were almost prevented to reach Cuba, the famous Alibaba donation. Operations of Cuba to buy and have access to pharmaceutical products and medical equipment, devices such as ventilators, also were prevented and became famous. There were also a donation from Switzerland that couldn't reach Cuba. There were attacks directly to foreign banks and Cuban accounts, and new measures of Helms-Burton, new lawsuits. And at the same time, there were new fines against foreign banks for doing legitimate transactions with Cuba. It is incredible that at a moment when everybody has been calling the United States to leave the blockade and suspend coercive measures against Cuba, instead of making at least more flexible the blockade in areas such as health and medical equipment or chemical devices or raw material to produce medicines, they've been doing the opposite. They took this as an advantage. They took it as an opportunity to say, hey, maybe now we will reach what we haven't accomplished in 60 years of abuse. This is something that should be denounced and condemned, and that it is something that Cuba has been also telling other governments. Fortunately, solidarity has grown. The campaign also to demonize the Cuban medical cooperation failed as well. And many countries, by the opposite, has been asking Cuba for their experience, for their doctors, and we've been sharing that as always. Not because we have too much, but because we believe in cooperation, we believe in solidarity, and we do not believe in sanctions and blockades and harming people in order to impose political purpose. So we expect more. This is an electoral year, and the team that is leading foreign policy in U.S. Still think that out of pressure and economic isolation, and threat, they will put down on its knees Cuba or others. We will prove it again wrong, but it should be denounced, but because there's lots of pain involved, not just for the 11 million Cuban, but for the Cuban immigration and also for third countries.
I continue speaking with Johanna Tablada, Deputy Director General of the U.S. Department of the Cuban Foreign Ministry. Johanna, why the United States attacked the Cuban health system, in particular the medical brigades?
The United States has the capacity and the skills of using millions of dollars in order to slander and distort reality, distort the truth, in a way that no other countries on earth can do that. One of the most shameful episodes of this practice also have been taking place in the last months, and is the obsession to present a noble, recognized, successful effort such as the Cuban Medical International Cooperation as something that is bad, as something that is not, to reach to the point of calling our medical cooperation human trafficking. This is reveals how far a government of the United States is willing to go in their obsession to discredit Cuba, in their obsession to attack the Cuban Revolution, and in their obsession of denying people of the world of the possibility of looking for alternative solution to the neoliberal, selfish international order that has been imposed by U.S. when the money and the power is the only thing that counts. Nothing new in the tradition of our revolution. For more than 60 years, Cuba has been solidarious with the rest of the world. But it is also a failed campaign. During this month, more than 40 Cuban medical brigades departed from Cuba to countries all over the world, in Africa, in Europe, in Latin America. Unfortunately, we have not been able to respond to all the requests, but we are very proud that we did respond. Many of those brigades are coming back after paying a tremendous service to the healthcare service of those countries, and also helping to the most novel work of saving life. They enjoyed the international recognition. They enjoyed our domestic recognition. They enjoyed the gratitude of the countries when they've been serving. And the only country on earth that could present something that is good or that will try to present and discredit something that is beautiful as an international crime is United States. It is not surprising because this is something that has been going on this bunch of lies over and over for many years. But at a time when countries should put solidarity and cooperation and dialogue and the capacity of helping each other in front of everything, it is really incredible, and it's really shameful that the United States will persist in the idea of trying to hide the failure of their campaign, and also in trying to deviate the attention from the very poor, disastrous management that they've been done at home of the battle against COVID. It is very well known now, and it is sad, since nobody should be happy about that, that the United States is leading all the international chart in terms of numbers of people that have been sick, number of people that lose their life. Unfortunately, the most conservative opinions at least affirm that one-third of so many people that have died could have been saved. The priority has been the right ones. It is late to save the lives of the more than 100,000 Americans that already passed away. And it is shameful that United States foreign policy priority have been going after after countries that are doing a good work at home, even Cuba under a severe illegal blockade, but not only that, but after countries that are doing a good work in helping others. This will go by in history as one of the most shameful United States operation of slanders and aggression against third world countries, because at the end of the day, it is also accompanied by a tremendous diplomatic pressure, trying to force country to cut their service. They fail in most of the countries. In fact, there are more countries asking for Cuban help now than before, and there are more medical brigade working abroad than before United States start this campaign, because the experience is more important than the propaganda. But there are also countries like Bolivia or Brazil or Ecuador when the United States put a lot of pressures in order to stop the Cuban International Medical Corporation, and that now they did not send doctors to substitute the places that were left by the demonization campaigns of lies against Cuban cooperation in those countries that now are having a very difficult situation, with some of the healthcare system collapsing, with some of doctors dying. Not a single doctor died in Cuba fighting against COVID. Again, we would like to pay tribute to that work.
And I can't end this interview with Johanna Tablada without asking her a question. Johanna, what you can tell me about John Bolton's recent book, The Room Where It Happened?
Regarding the book of John Bolton, I read it, and it would take a whole program to speak about that. But I think that the most important thing is for us to confirm that it was no political propaganda when Cuba was accusing Bolton for many years of being a pathological liar. The entire operation of foreign policy that he puts in place after he joined the White House has been full of lies. Some of them he does recognize. It is interesting to confirm that it was never about freedom, the United States foreign policy against Venezuela. It was always about the fuel, about oil, about taking back the control of the natural resources of a sovereign nation, about putting a puppet and trying to present him as a legitimate leader when it was not. And it was also true that it has been never about making a more safe world to pulling out from the agreement in Iran. Bolton just joined that administration in order to go ahead with that disastrous plan. And it is pretty obvious after reading the book, even when the book has been used by him also to try to reiterate some of the same lies that he said before in office against Cuba, Venezuela, China, Korea, Latin America, Asia, European Union. But even though it's very clear that United States contempt about international law, that the threat that this government posed to the peace and stability and civilization and international norms and international law is even bigger than what everybody suspects. So I think that even when it is not a good book, it is worth to read it, because it will show you and it will show the readers once again what is at stake, and it will reveal how dangerous it is to have not just a system as of imperialism in the United States, when money already plays such a huge role in domestic politics, but also it will leave the possibility that two or three people with the most reactionary vision would also pay zero attention to what their own structures are saying. It is pretty obvious in the book that the majority of the structures of the United States bureaucracy feels also demoralized by the lack of judgment and the irresponsibility of this irrational team that includes not just President Trump, but Bolton and many of his closest collaborators. Pompeo also in front of the State Department made a very poor service to American diplomacy. And of course, in the case of Cuba, even when he did not mention one of the most biggest lies of his tenure, that was to say that there were Cuban troops in Venezuela, he was careful not to repeat that in the book. He did repeat other huge lies about the nature of our relation with Venezuela, the supposed role that we played for them to justify the failure of their policy. It was always a fairy tale what they told the president. He did indeed was misadvised, ill-advised his closest collaborator. So I think that Bolton will go down to history as what he is, a liar. He lies about biological weapons in Cuba in 2002. He was disbarred by his own Republican colleagues in 2005 and did not receive confidence of the Senate of the United States to be ambassador in the United Nations precisely because he kicked out intelligence analysts for not telling and not repeating the kinds of lies he was saying. And he joins the Trump administration to wreak havoc in many of the most important international issues that we deal. It's good that he's out, but it's not good enough, since still you can see that the reactionary thinking and operation that is taking care in that dysfunctional office is still, it does continue. It continues with Mauricio Claver Caron in front of the Latin American hemisphere, and of course it continues with the president that everybody knows already who he is.
Well, thank you very much to Johanna Tavlada, Deputy Director General of the U.S. Department of the Cuban Foreign Ministry, in this exclusive interview with Radio Havana, Cuba.
Thank you very much.